This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You're listening to Ramadan Reflections by Mufti Hussein Kamani. This summer, Mufti Hussein will be teaching the Hadith Intensive. Students will study the different methods of compilation and preservation of a Hadith, the major role female scholars have played in Hadith preservation, the biography of famous Hadith narrators, as well as different Ahadith collections and excerpts from famous Hadith texts like Sahih al-Bukhari. For more information, visit hadithintensive.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa, khususan ala sayyidi rusuli wa khatam al-anbiya, wa ala alihi al-azkiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya, amma ba'd. Yesterday we discussed a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I wanted to spend the next few halaqat of ours discussing and expounding. That hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam discussed the three people who the Prophet of Allah himself said Ameen when Jibreel alayhi salam made dua against them. One of the three people was the person who lives while their parents are alive and does not serve them and ultimately ends up going to the fire of hell. We discussed this person yesterday. Another person was a person who finds the month of Ramadan and exits the month of Ramadan without being forgiven. This person we will discuss in the future. But today I wanted to focus on the third person mentioned in the hadith. And this was a person who heard the name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and did not say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This part of the hadith teaches us the importance of loving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how the love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also one of those foundational ingredients that must exist for a person who is searching for Jannah, a person who is searching for that higher place in Al-Firdaus Al-A'la. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one narration addressing this issue, very clearly said to his companions that one of you cannot be a complete believer. لا يؤمن أحدكم. You cannot be a complete believer. حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. Until I am more beloved to you, my cause, my honor, my love, my obedience is more important to you than the cause, honor, and obedience of yourself, your father, your child, and all of mankind. Now this hadith right here is a very serious question, and it sets a very high bar. Umar radiallahu anhu, when he heard this hadith, keeping it real with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, O Messenger of Allah, I love you more than everyone in the world, but the truth is, I don't love you more than I love myself. My cause, my honor, what I want is more important to me right now. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, your faith is not complete then, Umar. So Umar radiallahu anhu then had an internal reflection where he turned to himself and reevaluated his spiritual state. And he said, O Messenger of Allah, now I promise you will even be before myself. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, now your iman is complete. Understand the place of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your life. Understand the importance of his obedience, the importance of loving him, the importance of learning about him. How honored and how great are we as a nation that we were given the opportunity to be followers and believers in that Prophet, regarding who the Prophet himself said, أَنَا سَيِّدُ وُلْدِ آدَمَ وَلَا فَخَرٍ. I am the leader of all of the children of Adam alayhi salam, وَلَا فَخَرٍ. And there is no pride in this at all. Just a matter of fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the highest honor. Out of all of the creation, the highest honor was given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There wasn't a prophet who was given their prophethood, but before they were granted prophethood, they had to take a promise with Allah that if during their life they met the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would believe in him and they would assist him. When they accepted this promise, when they agreed that we will be his believers, we will be his followers if we meet him during our life, then and only then did Allah give them prophethood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Quran, and our Hufad read it very beautifully a few nights back. وَإِذَا أَخَذْنَا مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ مِيثَاقَهُمْ وَإِذَا أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ لَمَا آتَيْتُكُم مِّن كِتَابٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ ثُمَّ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مُصَدِّقٌ لِّمَا مَعَكُمْ لَتُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهِ وَلَتَنصُرُنَّهُ قَالَ أَأَقْرَرْتُمْ وَأَخَذْتُمْ عَلَىٰ ذَٰلِكُمْ إِصْرِي. Allah asked them, do you accept this covenant? قَالُوا أَقْرَرْنَا. They said, yes, Allah, we do accept this covenant of yours. This was the rank given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam certain honors that were not given to the Prophets before. For example, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in one hadith, I am the leader of the children of Adam alayhi salam. I will be the one whose grave will open first on the Day of Judgment. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will be the first person to intercede, and my intercession will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made me the last prophet. And the example, he said, is like a person who builds a beautiful structure. And the structure looks very beautiful, but that last brick is missing. And everyone that walks past can see the structure looks very beautiful, but there's one brick missing. There's one brick missing. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I am that last brick. With me, this structure is complete. Because with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes the Quran. A Quran that abrogates and will not be abrogated by any other text. A Qur'an that is preserved, not only in its words, but also in its meaning. A Qur'an that will be recited until the Day of Judgment by those who understand it, and also by those who don't understand it. The greatest miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was his Qur'an. The revelation that was given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the miracle. You know, young kids. I was speaking to someone earlier today and they were telling me that there are many masajid in Dallas that in one building they have multiple taraweeh going on because there are young kids who have a desire to lead. So someone's leading in one room, another person leading in another room. The main hall they have five people leading, in the next hall they have three people leading. The community is mashallah, Allah has blessed us with so many huffaz. And whoever thought that that would come to America, whoever thought that would be the state in Dallas, Texas, you know, it's not the Bible belt, this is the buckle itself. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He wishes for something, لَا رَادَّ لِأَمْرِهِ. No one can turn away the amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this right here is a continuation of the miracle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that the honor of the Prophet is such that the honor extends on to the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, those who are from my ummah will be the first people to enter into Jannah on the Day of Judgment. نَحْنُ الْآخِرُونَ السَّابِقُونَ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. We are the last nation to come before the Day of Judgment, and we will be the first people to go into Jannah on the Day of Judgment. The hadith is narrated by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi. The honor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specified for him the pond, حوض الكوثر. The people will come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Day of Judgment. And it seems very far because we're at a nice, comfortable, air-conditioned room right now as we speak. But a day will come where the very people who are saying and listening to this halaqah, those who are speaking and those who are listening to this halaqah, a day will come where these will be very desperate, thirsty human beings. And on the Day of Judgment, they will roam around looking for someone to give them water to quench their thirst. And there will be no Gatorade on that day. There will be no fountain for you to go and just turn the knob and start drinking. If you want water that day, the way you will achieve it is by coming to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I will search for you. I will come and search for my ummatis, those who are my followers, and I will say, bring this person here, bring this person here. One companion asked a messenger of Allah, how will you even recognize us? You've never seen our faces. Which is also a very subtle, very beautiful point. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not have the knowledge of the unseen. Otherwise this companion's statement would be false, would be faulty. He knew the Prophet didn't know the faces of those who will come after him, so he asked the Messenger of Allah, how will he recognize us? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, how will he recognize us? Yeah, he's right. From wudu. The limbs will be shining, ghurra muhajjaleen, the limbs will be shining from abundance of wudu. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I will see the nur on you, and the wudu that we do is unique to our ummah. So I'll know who's mine, and I'll call them all one by one. One hadith says the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will go to a group of people. He says himself, the Prophet said, I will go to a group of people and I will call them. I will say, come to my hawf, come to my hawf. And when they will be coming, a group of angels will come and they will stop them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will say, what are you doing? Let them go. They're my ummah. Let them come to me. And the angels will say, these people were a part of your ummah. They were your followers. But however, after you left, they created bid'at. They created innovations. And when the Prophet ﷺ will hear that these people changed his religion, they created new things after him, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, move them away from me then, move them away from me. I don't want them anywhere near me, I don't want them anywhere close to me, if they made a mockery and made a joke out of my religion. On one side we see the love that a mother has for her child, where he's running to people and calling them, come and come and come. On the other side we see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being firm and strong when anyone dares to tamper with the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for my ummah and my ummah alone, He made the entire earth a place of salah. For other nations, they had prayer areas where they would go and pray. But for this ummah, anywhere you are, anywhere you go, you'll find someone on the side of a road, someone in a gas station, someone in a parking lot, someone in an airplane, someone at the airport, praying their salah away. These were all du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for leniency for us. And after asking for this leniency, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu became upset with Aisha radiallahu anha because she lost something, and because she lost something, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the companions, we will not leave this place until we find what she lost. And while they were looking, what happened? One salah time almost passed by. And Aisha radiallahu anha says that my father was next to me and he started poking me on my side. He was angry at me that because of you, look, we're going to miss our salah now. We don't have water for wudu, we're in the middle of nowhere, how are we going to pray? And then she says, a few moments later, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his forehead, wiped his sweat, and he recited the ayah of the Qur'an, فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat of tayammum. And then she says, my father came and said, how beautiful of a daughter you are. She says, a few moments ago he was poking me. And then he says, look at you. He said, because of you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave ease to the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are so many honors and special ranks that were given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just 2 points I'll mention as I close off, because these 2 points really show us what kind of respect we should actually have for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in particularly in the month of Ramadan, because as we mentioned earlier, the Ramadan is an opportunity for us to spiritually grow. It's the month where we set the foundation for our spiritual path. And if you're setting that foundation and your discussion does not include the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we've mentioned before, there is something wrong with that spiritual path. 2 points. The first thing, imagine the honor of a person regarding who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Muslims, don't call him by his name. You must call him by a beautiful attribute. The Sahaba were not allowed to go to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say to him, oh Muhammad. They couldn't talk to him like that. They were prohibited in the Quran from saying that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the companions, ya la taj'alu du'a ar-rasuli baynakum ka du'ai ba'dikum ba'da. When you invoke him, when you call him, you don't call him by his name. You call him by Ya Rasulullah, Ya Nabi Allah, Ya Habib Allah. You use beautiful names. Don't refer to my beloved with his first name. That's disrespectful to my beloved, and I have no desire for that. And then on the other place in the Quran, we find in Surah Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again teaches the Sahaba a lesson of how to respect his messenger, where he tells them, لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِي. That when you're in front of my messenger, don't even raise your voice in front of him. You lower your voice in front of my messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His rank is above yours. His place with Allah is very dear. And if you spiritually want to grow, فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Your way to get close to Allah is through me. A pathway that takes you to Allah without the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a faulty pathway. That's a delusional pathway. Spirituality comes through wahi. And the carriers of wahi were none other than the prophets of Allah. All of them, salawatullahi alayhi majma'een, and khususan our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in the next days, inshallah, we'll continue to expound on this and open this issue up even more. What does it mean to love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How do we express it? How can we be from the people who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invites to his hawd on the Day of Judgment, and not be from the people who are blocked and denied access to the blessed and beloved hands of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase in love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Understand his honor and rank. Read about him, learn about him, and be true followers of his legacy. وصلى الله تعالى على سيدنا محمد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.